cult TV club.
Get it right.
Oh, well, classic cult TV club where we watch cult TV from 2001 and before. And we're here with Baylor.
Hello.
And Angus.
Hello.
Lisa.
Hey.
Alex.
Hey.
Jeanette.
Hi.
And I'm Justin. And today we're watching Doctor Who. And we're watching the third Doctor. And it's an episode called The Daemons or Demons. It's from 1971. It's Jeanette's pick. Why did we pick The Daemons?
I wanted one that, to me, best represented the various iconic elements of the Pertwee era. So I had to have the Master, because the Master is very much associated with that Pertwee years. It's where he's introduced, where he, almost every second story has the Master in it, who was played during the Pertwee years by Roger Delgado.
Mm-hmm.
It had to have UNIT because that was where he works with UNIT through that time, because he's been exiled to Earth. And so UNIT's very much a feature of that. And it had to be Jo Grant as the companion, because she's the iconic Pertwee companion.
But what about Elizabeth Slayton?
I was going to say there was one before.
Yes, Elizabeth Shaw, who was a scientist.
That's it.
And a really good companion. But to me, she doesn't represent that era, and in fact Pertwee didn't like her because she was a scientist and she was too equal to him.
And that's how the episode starts, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, he didn't want the smart, savvy companion.
Chase.
So I think it says a lot about Pertwee.
It says a lot about the 70s.
And the 70s. And the later Elizabeth Sladen, to me, she's more associated with Tom Baker.
Yep.
Mm.
And so Ang's known, that's what I'm talking about, rich Tom Baker story, and so I really want to do an Elizabeth Sladen one, and I really want to do a Leela one, and I really want to do one of the Mana. I can't do three, but I think my two picks next year are both going to be Doctor Who.
Elizabeth Sladen being, sorry...
Sarah Jane Smith.
Yeah, she's so iconic we can refer to her by her actress's name.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what you guys do with every single actress.
I was just thinking that.
I'm very sorry.
Yeah. You're just like, Tom Holland, that's right, Tom Holland. And you're like, I don't know who that person is.
Yeah.
Mm. He's iconically, you know, Spider-Man, but Tom Holland.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to do the meme then. Oh, we're going by our actors' names, are we?
Yeah.
What's the Daemons about? Why...
Doctor and the Daemons, it's your classic English village horror, very popular in the 70s.
It's very supernatural, isn't it?
Yes, it's the drawing on ancient beliefs, the, you know, the digging up the barrow with some evil spirit inside.
Oh.
But then, of course, he's very insistent there's a scientific explanation for this.
What was that Omega Factor? What era was that? Because that was 70s. All very much the same thing.
Was it just like the style of the time to just be a combination of weirdly mysterious, almost magic, and... super-duper science stuff?
Yes, that was very typically
It was, yeah.
It's funny because they send mixed messages all the way through this, don't they?
Yes.
Because one of my complaints about movies and TV in general is that the crackpots are always right.
Yeah.
No matter what you watch, it's always got to be the crackpots that are correct. Otherwise, there's no fun story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it does portray the crackpots as being correct, and that's really...
It wasn't a problem back in the 70s. Yeah. It's a problem now.
It's a problem now. Today we had vaccine protests in the city.
Yes, so it's something now that is very irritating.
Mm. Well, yeah, because the others can spread as well as they can today.
Yeah. Yeah. So this one has the Master summoning the ancient horned alien, not demon, alien, Azal, and in a cavern.
So he's actually a demon, but he's an alien demon?
Yes, all demons are actually aliens. That's where the mythology comes
from. And look, we can't make fun of that because there was recent Doctor Who episodes that did the same thing, wasn't there?
I just remembered that one episode where the 10th Doctor meets... who's supposed to be the devil.
Yeah.
It's like on a planet orbiting a black hole or whatever.
Bad.
And you also meet the witches in the Shakespeare episode.
Yes.
The origin behind the witches, the Carrionites. I'm fairly sure there's
did it with the Volons.
And the aliens.
Angels.
I'm fairly sure there was a fourth Doctor story about vampires. And then, of course, there was another Matt Smith story about vampires, but
different
vampiric race.
Oh, yeah. And they explained, the reason why they don't appear in mirrors is because they're holographic something something.
Yeah.
Yes.
While in the, I think, was it a Fourth Doctor story?
Really later Fourth.
So apparently, there were two vampire stories in Old Who. There was a Fourth Doctor story that I'm thinking of, but there was also a Second Doctor story.
Ah, okay.
But it was a novel. So it doesn't count.
That doesn't count.
But yeah, there was a Fourth Doctor, a series of episodes about completely different vampires.
So which
different vampire series to the
Fourth
vampires
of Venice.
I don't know, it said something about E Space. So that's.
It's later.
Yeah,
yes,
very
I'm
late
not
Fourth
very
Doctor.
With the
I'd ask what E Space is, but I'm not sure that we've got enough time.
I've got enough. I don't think I've got enough enough time to answer either. It was very late post-Romana. Yeah, I'm fairly sure Romana left shortly after
those
episodes.
She stays in E-Space.
Yeah, well...
Then she becomes president of Gallifrey in the stories.
So during this episode, apparently they spent a bit of time, because they had Roger Delgado, or the Master, summoning Azal or something, they had a lot of problem potentially with the Church. When he was summoning, by the way, he was reciting Mary Had a Little Lamb backwards, along with the name of Damaris Hayman, who was the woman that played Olivia Hawthorne. The White Witch. So he played the same her name backwards and the White Witch, the inverse White Witch. But yes, so they kept on moving it from the church to a crypt and then finally to a cavern to try and avoid upsetting people.
And originally they were going to recite the Lord's Prayer and backwards, but decided that would cause offence.
That would cause a problem, so they didn't do that.
Political quickness gone mad.
Yes. But it's always funny to see the Master, and they repeated this in the new.
It's funny
new
the
series.
Levels that they went to make sure that political correctness stayed intact.
Yes. I'm assuming because it's the 70s, the Doctor is a total ass.
Yeah.
I got a really good description of him from somebody on the Doctor Who for. Pertwee is very much a neck rubbing, condescending, sexist ass.
Who said that?
Someone on the forum.
Oh, okay, on the Doctor Who forum.
Yes. But I think it's a very good and fair description of Pertwee.
You always like to do the James Bond thing.
Yeah. I was just thinking, when you say John Pertwee, I was thinking, oh, it's a James Bond Doctor.
Yes.
And I think she was going to solve it by James Bonding everything. Mm-hmm.
Yes, with the cars. And that little car he has in the final story, The Planet of the Spiders, was actually his own car, and it was road registered. So he would drive along and he would get pulled over all the time by police because it just was made to look like...
No one knows what car you're talking about.
Okay.
What were you hoping to achieve there?
Yes, you're quite right. Thank you. So he has this sort of supposed to be super fast little car in the final
flying
episode.
Flying car.
Flying car. And it was actually his own car that he had made specially and wanted to bring it in and use it in the TV show.
Probably,
I'm sure there's a picture of it.
It's probably about the size of a go-kart. It's much smaller than a normal car and has lots of fins and rounded looking.
Oh, look at that. But as I said, it's a small car, but he's a very tall unit too, isn't he?
It looks like a trolley bite.
It does look like a trolley bite.
A trolley bite, yes.
Yeah.
So halfway between a speedboat and a trolley bite.
Yeah. Baylor's eye roll was not audible there, I'm afraid to say. But it did.
Though it had so much gravitas, it should have been audible.
I heard it from here.
Yeah. Should we watch it?
Yes.
I guess we'll watch the show.
Yeah.
And we have
I can't heckle if I haven't watched it, so let's make this happen.
Some unit-type food in honour of Joe always making sandwiches for units.
So.
So hang on, the token girl has to make sandwiches for the boys.
She's always making sandwiches for the girls.
Is it Barbara that used to, I don't make cups of tea.
Yeah. I don't know how to make a cup of tea. Talk to Ian.
Backwards from the series, which was helmed by Verity Lambert.
Yeah, and she'd left by that stage then, actually.
Course, we've seen the second Doctor Tomb of the Cybermen episode last year, and we talked quite heavily about sexism in that.
It gets worse.
It goes downhill, not uphill.
By far and away, it gets worse. So what have we got here? We've got cucumber sandwiches.
Some curried egg and corned beef.
And corned beef sandwiches, because Yates and Benton are eating corned beef sandwiches during the show.
I feel like we should also point out that these sandwiches, while we're making fun of Joe Grant being the one to make sandwiches for everyone else, the person who made the sandwiches was still Jeanette.
So what books do we have here on the table? We've got Doctor Who, The 70s by David J. Howe. We've got Who's Next, Doctor Who, Doctor...
The Who's Next is good because it gives a summary of
Doctor Who, the complete guide.
Up until when it's published.
Doctor
Who's
Who, the
Next
legend
is a
continues.
Great album. 5 decades of time travel, Doctor Who, the legend continues. Time Frame, the illustrated. 30th anniversary, 50th anniversary.
That's also by David J. Howe.
And 25th anniversary has lost its cover. It's been much loved, that one.
And then somewhere we should have a whole bunch of Doctor Who, I think they were collectible card comics. They had magazines. For this collectible card game and piles of these collectible cards that released in like the late 2000
movies or era, early. Oh, so basically the Russell T. Davis era.
Yeah,
the
pretty much. Russell
T. Davis era, because he's coming back
I think they lasted for like one Matt Smith year, and that was about it.
And of course, we've got Pewter Dialects here with their Christmas hats on.
Salt and pepper shakers from New Zealand. Also in the next room, we have a shamefully uninflated Dalek and TARDIS. Full size.
A TARDIS bath towel over there, and then in the shower, a TARDIS shower curtain. This is a Doctor Who house.
I'm embarrassed to say that today my daughter, who's not here, tidied up her bedroom and found a Dalek baby bow that I had that I used to put in her hair when she was a baby, and she wanted me to wear it, and I forgot to put it in my hair before I left. So that was going to be my contribution, but... was not to be.
I don't have any Doctor Who memorabilia of any kind, I don't think.
I have nothing from the old stuff. I've only got the new stuff.
Yeah, same.
Because you've got a sonic screwdriver or something. You've got Matt Smith's.
And the TARDIS teapot.
TARDIS teapot. Oh, well, we'll go off and watch the demons and people can talk about it afterwards.
I need more stuff to heckle, so I'll need to be taking notes for when we come back.
I think you're making the T. Jeanette would have been even further down the Joe Grant path, I think.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go watch the show. The Demons, which is season 8, episode 5. Sorry, when I say episode, I mean story number. So stories have about 6 episodes in them.
This one is a 5 episode, which is pretty unusual.
Why does it normally do more?
Normally either 4 or 6. Most before, with the occasional 6-parter. And this was the last 5-parter ever done.
Yeah.
So after this, they're all 4 or 6. Very rare exception. There's a 2 episode in Peter Davison's era, which is about the only short.
Okay.
Well, what do people think of the episode? It had Morris dancers.
It was interesting to... This is the first time I'd seen a classic... Is it Roger Delgado? It's a classic master episode. Yeah. So that was good. I honestly preferred last year's Troughton episodes, to be honest. But
it's
definitely a step backwards.
It is in many ways.
But everyone glorifies the Pertwee era, so I'm
huge fans of UNIT for some reason.
Yeah,
I know, but they like people shooting things for no reason.
It's a sign of the era, maybe. I don't know. But...
I don't know. I think the characters of the Brigadier and Benton and those
they're fun
characters.
I like them as recurring. I like them being recurring characters. I prefer Kate as Miss Stewart.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Really good.
The reoccurring scientist,
They're always dopey. Now, the chap with rings, 5 rounds back, just typifies UNIT.
Yeah.
All they ever did was shoot at things to no effect.
And then, nothing's happened. And it's like they're stuck in a force field.
Yes.
And... what? They're going to run out of bullets and then they're going to get killed. It's like, dude, guys.
They're never very smart, which is, I'm sure, why the UN finally objected.
Or UN don't run around with guns, of course. So.
No, and they don't run around with guns. And they're a little more intelligent than the UN Intelligence Task Force and Doctor Who. One would hope that. So
I thought Roger Delgado was pretty good. It always amuses me when they have him getting up as an occultist, which they did in the new episodes as well. And what was it, that terrible episode at the end of season 2 where he's eating chicken's hole and something?
I was gonna say, which Doctor are we talking about now?
Yes, with Tennant.
The Saxon ones.
Yeah.
Oh, Saxon was okay. It was the final
Saxon.
When he came back.
When he came back and it was
the Master comes back and he's an occultist and it's all very strange.
Was he an occultist? He was just like, he had all of this, he was like, he kept burning energy or something, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, it was the occultist that brought him back from the dead, wasn't it? Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I think I'd repress that one as well.
Jeez. I really enjoyed the episode where they brought that actor back for the...
John Sim is so good.
Yeah, he's a really good actor. I like when they brought him back after that episode.
Have you seen Life on Mars?
No, I think I saw the first season. It wasn't my kind of thing. But
he's so good. He's such a good actor. So
I have seen him in a couple of other things, and he is a really good actor. And he was getting bailed up. He'd be shopping in the supermarket with his kid, and people come up and abuse him because they didn't like his depiction of the master.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's really great.
Time, which is not fair.
No.
Yeah, he's a good actor. But then, regardless of whether you like him or not, it's his private life.
That's it. And comparing it to Delgado, like, I mean, Delgado did a great job, but he's like, you know, your typical
pantomime
goatee wearing, I'm the bad guy kind of, you know.
He does everything but snigger while he's tying Joe down to the train tracks.
I know, right? And look, that's fine because that's what the doctor ordered. Like, mind the pun, but you know, that's what his job is. But John Sim did a fantastic job in the same way. Like, like a modern depiction of the Master.
I especially liked it when he reappears at the end of the Bill.
The Capaldi.
That is just such a good story.
I miss Bill.
I like Bill.
Yeah, I like Bill too.
Yeah, didn't have enough time to...
No.
Better than Clara.
Oh, Clara is not particularly a character in the writing episodes. She's in were terrible too, so sometimes...
I liked Clara in some of those, and most of those episodes.
I didn't mind Clara.
Yeah.
It's okay to be wrong sometimes.
Yeah. So Osgood the scientist there, he does... thought he died, but he doesn't. Apparently, Moffat did intend him to be Osgood in the new series' father, so she was supposed to be his daughter. But in some of the other stories, books or whatever, then say her father's name's Frank and his name is Tom, but he is supposed to be her father.
Oh.
And, of course, the thick glasses, the, you know, it's very clear that she's sort of designed to look a little bit like him.
Yeah. But then it's like it's, what, 45 years ago? Like, you should be grandfather, surely. You were saying grandfather. Yes, and the timeline should be grandfather.
That was 50 years ago, surprisingly.
Yeah. This was 71.
Yeah. But then the Osgood episodes were about 5 years ago, weren't they?
No, they were...
More than that.
2013, because she was in the anniversary special. So she must have first appeared. That was when she first appeared, wasn't it?
She appeared in the second season of Methodist Era.
The first time she...
Two and a half series with Amy and Rory, and then they introduced her... And then they ditched Amy and Rory a season later?
Osgood is the scientist with the scarf.
Not Kate.
That was in, that worked with Kate.
Oh.
The younger one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right, so I think that's going up.
And the first one, you're right, the first one she popped up in was...
The anniversary special.
Yeah. And I remember that was like November 2013,
because it was on the, well, as close as possible to the exact anniversary of the first Doctor Who episode.
And I just found out I was pregnant that week. So that's how I always remember. I had pictures of ourselves like waiting at Piccadilly to go see the anniversary special. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, don't tell anyone you're pregnant. Yeah. So, so then you kind of go, 8 years ago? So, and this episode was 50 years old. So 42 years.
Yeah.
Like, it just can't be. Like, it's not working. Yeah.
Uncle, maybe? Could be an uncle.
Yeah. I think you're right with the timeline. I think it has to be grandfather or something like that, doesn't it?
So, in 2010, SFX named the resolutions of the plot as one of the silliest moments in Doctor Who's history.
Power of love saved everybody.
It was a kind of power of love saved everybody, which became extremely common
in New Who.
Oh, yeah. How did they hit the Master in the third season, basically, with Martha being all positive vibes and satellites.
Everyone think of the Doctor and we'll all be saved. It's like it's that easy. You just think of him now and you get saved.
But it was pretty classic kind of Who of the period.
It was. Probably lots of people thought they actually did blow up a church and there were a huge amount of complaints about blowing up a church. Same with the chopper. People thought they'd blow a chopper up. That wasn't used from the James Bond film Russia with Love, and it was used a few times. Stock footage.
What did you think of the episode, Angus?
So, I'm 50-50, because the ending was dreadful. And
I'm glad you explained it to me, because I was just...
I thankfully have seen this episode before. I know the plot. And the ending was dreadful. The sexism is just palpable. It's really gone back to the typical screaming companion that was kind of late first Doctor, and it was one of the reasons kind of where by the time Ian and Barbara walk away from the show, it's about the time to stop watching the first Doctor.
Okay. Just don't start again until, you know, Sarah Jane comes in.
I think the only exception to that is the Romans episode, but
Oh, The Romans is good.
The Romans is good.
Oh, that is Ian and Barbara.
Yes, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, and then don't watch till the second Doctor and then... Second Doctor I love. Mm. I do enjoy the second Doctor. Mm. Because while there's the screaming companion, Zoe's really, really smart. And the companion we saw last year, while she was screaming, she was still doing her best to be strong in spite of it all. Yeah. So she at one point screams to trick the other person into thinking that there's a cybermat there or something.
She was kind of a bit wily too, because there was some character, I'm trying to remember, there was some character that was obviously dodgy and everyone else is just letting them have it, the controls, and she's like, yeah, no, I don't trust you. Yeah. And she's like straight onto it. I'm like, thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
So what would you give this episode out of 10, do you think?
Oh, God. So
I think it says cereal.
11 and 3/4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or what food? No, it's a cucumber sandwich.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's quite that healthy, to be honest.
No, that's true. Oh, no. We had lots of salt and butter cucumber sandwich and white bread.
Oh, it has the illusion of being healthy while not being
healthy.
You're saying sandwich has got cheese in it as well because of how cheesy it is?
Yeah. Yeah. Plenty of ham, plenty of cheese. Yeah.
There is ham and cheese in this episode. Yeah. Okay.
My biggest disappointment was that after this,
cucumber sandwich.
Mrs. Hawthorne didn't go on to become a companion because she was just awesome.
Yeah.
So much better than that Katie bird. So.
Oh, so she was.
Joy. Was it Katie's the actress? Yeah.
Katie Manning's the actor. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about Joe, or are you talking about Olivia? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying that Mrs. Hawthorne was a lot cooler than.
Yes. She Joe. Was lots of fun.
Yeah. I know there's danger afoot. I consulted my runes earlier. She was great. It's like, sit down. There's nothing you can do. Just be patient. She's great.
So what did you think, Vader?
It was alright. It really didn't do it for me. But a lot of Old Who really doesn't do it for me.
So then the next question is, did it hold up? Negatory.
Not really. I mean, it didn't help us that the episode we were watching, it seems that it was a bit corrupted somehow, so we were, half the time we were watching this splash of colour on the screen.
But yeah, no, I'd say out of a third Doctor, while it had UNIT and all the good episodes I'm thinking of don't have UNIT, which makes me sad, it wasn't the best
story. No, it's not the best story.
Yeah.
I chose it because of the Master and UNIT.
Yeah.
It's definitely not the best.
Liz Shaw?
What would be the best?
Is the better companion because she's not just there to scream.
She's the third
Doctor companion.
She's a scientist.
And she's the only one that I'd seen before. Like, I'd seen the first... Is it series when they have those little blocks of episodes? I'd seen the first one of Pertwee, I think.
The Spearhead from Space with the Autons.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is dodgy, but love. And then I think was there one with the... like a reptilian one after that as well?
Silurians.
Slytherins,
Was that Liz Shaw?
Yep, that was a Liz Shaw. The Sea Devils wasn't. The Sea Devils
wasn't.
It's kind of a follow-up,
Because the Sea Devils was pretty good.
I originally thought of that one, but it doesn't have UNIT. And I really wanted that.
So you wanted us to see the incompetent shooty thing?
Absolutely. It this era. I wasn't going for the best.
You're going for the most typical.
Yeah. That's right. And Sea Devils is a really good one, but it doesn't involve UNIT. And Sea Devils was like, I think it may have had a hand in inspiring a couple of video games, because there's the XCOM series, which is basically you defend Earth from aliens. But the second in that game was you defeat the aliens on Mars, and they send a signal back to Earth to a deep sea base. And this is the original game from like the 90s, 80s, God knows when.
Oh,
cool. And they wake up the aliens already on Earth that are deep underneath the ocean. And so the second game is you defending Earth from aliens rising from the deep and sort of thing. And yeah, it was a terrifying game to play because of just, you had no visibility, everything was just out there around you and just destroyed you. And that was based off of, from what I think, probably the Sea Devil story, which was, it's iconic.
That sea base that they film it in, one of those was for sale recently and it's been done up for UNIT, but they're incredible, really interesting structures in the sea.
Were defensive structures, yes. Yeah. One got declared an independent country. It's only 8 miles off the coast, but outside the 4-mile limit or whatever it was at the time. I guess that was the demons. Yeah.
Next year, Tom Baker.
Tom Baker's really a step up. The strong companions.
Mm. Yes.
Strong female companions, not just strong male companions. Mm. And good stories.
I've got to say, though, that some of Pertwee are worth watching. You know, the Silurians and the...
Silurians, Sea Devils.
The Planet of the Spiders. You know, some of those are really good.
Peladon.
This sort of sat in the lower end of the...
It ticks all the boxes. All the elements.
I've got to tell you what...
Does series have that terrible Hammond organ background music?
Oh, yes.
They also have terrible fighting, like in the episodes as well.
Yeah.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course, the fighting is awful. Yes.
Mm. It's all very, like, Kung Fu James Bond-esque.
He sees himself as the Kung Fu warrior.
Yeah.
Do you know what ticked the box for me, though? That crushed velvet suit and cape with the ruffled shirt, man. Mm. Oh, my God. Could you get any more?
He came up with that himself.
Of course he did. He did.
Basically, he was, prior to Doctor Who, he'd just been announced as the next Doctor Who. And so the Radio Times called him up and asked him to do an interview with a photo shoot. And he said, I better put on something a bit odd, a bit eccentric. And so that's what he chose.
This is something I've got in my wardrobe.
What do I got in the wardrobe, you know? Because we all have ruffle shirts.
Well, I think they do that, because I know Capaldi had input on his outfit as the Doctor, and I don't know whether that's a normal thing or whether they have input or whether the...
Later on it wasn't,
Colin Baker certainly had no input at all. He wanted to wear the black, something very similar to the Eccleston Doctor. And not the colourful clown. He hated that clown costume. Yes, he had no input at all. He wouldn't have ended up with the clown costume.
Peter Davidson had much say either. Well, he had the cricket.
Was it the bowler hat? Not the bowler hat. What did he have like that?
Boater hat.
That's it. Oh my God. I was about to go play cricket.
You can see the change as well in the fourth Doctor, because his costume was already iconic in the fourth Doctor, and as the kind of it nears the end when they change showrunners, the costume, it slowly becomes more and more vibrant in its colours. Like it was brown and sort of thing early on, and then it just becomes a little bit more vibrant, and you're like, okay. It feels different. And then, of course, in the first Peter Davidson episode, Peter Davidson, in the script, tears apart the scarf and just unravels the entire scarf, which the fourth Doctor fans loved, but I'd wager that the showrunner probably hated that scarf.
Yeah. And some of those outfits just get... I mean, I guess they're all iconic, and you know what the Doctors are by their different crazy outfits, but they just get... Some of them are more cringier than others, I think, you know?
Yeah.
So where did velvet and ruffles fit into the cringe level?
But you kind of think, you know, 70s, you just go, yes, like, that is...
Like, I grew up watching Doctor Who. I think that outfit's fucking amazing. I want it. I'm all for it. The black cloak with the red lining on the inside.
I like the cloak. Capaldi had a similar...
Exactly the same.
Very similar. Awesome. Now, the cloak was great.
I was a little nervous when he jumped on the motorbike with the cloak on, though. I'm like, I've seen enough Incredibles to know where that goes. No capes.
I've seen Watchmen.
Well, he did actually jump on that motorbike and ride off, but that was because he had an argument with the director and over filming, because they had to stop filming because it snowed, so he couldn't have snow in a heat barrier. So they had to wait till the snow melted, and he got really angry and swore at the director and jumped on the bike and rode off, apparently.
He seems like, to me, he'd be a bit of a diva actor. I feel it. I feel it in my bones.
Yeah.
It sounds like they had the odd one or two.
Tom Baker said in his own autobiography, he got so attached to the show and the character that he just became really controlling and very difficult to work with. He was there so long.
Okay, well, I guess we'll put away the corned beef sandwiches.
And next year, jelly babies.
Jelly babies. Yes, absolutely. So
what are the best jelly babies then that you can get? Is it just, you have to get it imported or?
Proper English jelly babies, yes.
The orange ones resulted in the fourth Doctor at one point shouting at another in the show resulted in Tom Baker's doctor shouting at another character for there not being any orange jelly babies in the jelly baby bag. He got really upset about that at one point in the show.
He does say they're the best.
Yeah, yeah.
Which they are.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay, so that was The Demons and goodbye from the Classic Cult TV Club.
Yeah. Bye. Is our next one the Christmas one?
I guess so, yes.
Oh, it's in the Christmas.
December, yes. A Christmas episode.
Yes, yes.
Do we know what?
And what is our Christmas episode?
We were humming and hurrying, weren't we? Yes. Did we decide on something?
Did you had a suggestion for that.
We're doing the Wiggles one, or?
Yeah. Yes. I think we were doing a Wiggly Christmas.
Wiggly Christmas.
A Wiggly Christmas.
Oh, dear.
Classic.
We had lots of fun watching it last time.
Has Mackenzie experienced a Wiggly Christmas yet?
She may have done. I'm pretty sure she's got the soundtrack. And we had the Christmas music on today, but only because she was playing the same song for about 2 hours and I ended up turning it off and put Christmas music on.
What was the song she was playing?
Sunshine, lollipops and rainbows.
Yeah, I know.
And then we're coming home from the shops and she's like, oh, can I, you know, she's always like, can I have your fine? And we're like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah. And next minute, song comes on again. It's like, oh my God. It was excruciating. But
introduce us to some decent music, like, I don't know, Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, the Wiggly Christmas will be fun.
It's fun.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, see ya. Bye.